Hey guys, this is Shelf Medicating. I'm Maddie.
I'm Savannah.
I'm Ellie.
And I'm Macy.
And welcome to Book Club. This month we read The Leavers by Lisa Coe, and we're going to discuss it. We're going to get into the nitty gritty. We're going to do our casting, all of that. But before, what's everyone been up to? How's it going?
Well, we're currently at the lake right now on a girls' trip doing our podcast, so that's happening.
We have the coziest
coziest little vibe.
It's raining. We have like the lake in the background. We're on a cozy couch. This is so fun.
If this has taught me anything, it's that we need a studio. So I'm going to need everyone to start listening.
Yeah.
Share it with a friend.
Ideally a waterfront studio.
With a good view.
Lots of windows.
Always raining.
Always raining.
A nice couch.
Quilts. Just a closet full of quilts.
That's a cute vibe.
No, I know.
A quilt vibe.
I love a quilt vibe.
Quilt core. That's the aesthetic of the podcast.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
I love a quilt and a little library.
Mm-hmm. Wait, kind of because like our friendship has been going on for years and years. Like we keep adding new squares to our quilt.
Oh, that's so cute.
Owen, like when Maddie had Owen,
new square in our podcast.
Oh,
kind of love patchwork.
Not patchwork. And stay tuned. Talk about friendship as adults.
Cute.
I'm gonna cry.
So we are switching up our
welcome back to the Patchwork podcast. I'm kind of obsessed.
Yeah, no, that's cute. Maybe we should have a spinoff.
Dare we learn to quilt?
Honestly, I've been seeing a lot of the like learning how to crochet or do needlework or whatever. Like that's kind of, I feel like, blowing up in our generation. And quilting could just be out of that list. And that would be so fun.
Imagine the photo shoot, picnic, quilt, basket.
Yeah. You know that quilt I thrifted? That is my prized possession that I love. Would be amazing.
My sister was saying that her daughter is doing this club called, I think it's maybe called like P31, which is like Proverbs 31. And each month there's like a host, like one of her friends' moms is like putting it on, whatever. And each month they do like different activities. So they're like learning to cook, learning to sew, I want to do that.
Yeah.
I want to be in a club like that.
That's really sweet.
And they're like learning about friendship, like what it means to be a friend.
The fact that they're doing that at that age.
Yeah.
Really cute.
So sweet.
I love that.
Loving that for them.
Yeah.
I want to start my own.
I'm just thinking.
We should, honestly.
I know.
Why don't we?
Mm-hmm.
I'm so obsessed with this idea. I'm just thinking like all four of us have been in each other's weddings. We're starting to have families. If when we're at a big milestone, like I think about you two graduating high school or when we did, if we were like, wow, today is definitely another patch on our quilt.
Yeah.
Like our friendship quilt.
That just gave
like,
me chills. I'm going to cry.
That's really sweet.
So sweet.
I know.
Someone take notes.
We gotta figure out how to do this one.
That's amazing.
I'll be on Pinterest tonight.
Yeah. All night.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Really cute.
Well, the biggest update in all of our lives is that Taylor Swift's album came out, and we have another podcast you can listen to hear our thoughts on that, so we won't talk about it too much here, but that's going to be my hyperfixation for the next 6 months.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm in deep.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's so good. Yeah. We have an entire podcast about it, so we don't need to go into it much, but loving it. Can't get enough.
Yeah.
And we stand Maddie Healy. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah. Boys.
He's a patch.
Yeah.
He's a patch.
He's the whole quilt. Patch.
A nicotine patch.
He has a lot of patches.
That's good.
I don't really feel like I have any big life updates that I can think of, so.
I got to go to the drive chip putt competition at the Masters, so I did not have the tickets to stay for the actual Masters, but I got to see the beautiful greens, I got to drive on Magnolia Lane, see the pro shop, eat the egg salad sandwich, and it was stunning. I really, really loved it. I love golf aesthetic in general, and I'm not a golfer, but I just obviously enjoy the vibes, and it was very cool to see the course in person. Just imagine, I mean, acres and acres, not a weed in sight. The most beautiful landscaping you could ever see in your life. It was amazing. And the sandwiches. I want every sandwich to be $1.50. That's stunning.
Yeah. Did they only have egg salad? Or they have
no, it's like barbecue, egg salad, ham and cheese, but they're super simple. Like just that on white bread. And then you get, Logan and I tried 3 sandwiches, an ice cream sandwich, chips. We each got a lemonade, and it was like $14 or $15.
It's crazy. Wow.
It was
so cool.
They
do that.
Yeah,
yeah, that's great. Amazing.
And it's so field trip to the zoo vibe because you just eat it outside in the sun. I wore a visor. So I wore a visor and a skirt and a little collared shirt because I was just trying to fit in. And like 8 people said, how'd you play today? Mind you, this was a competition that only went up to age 16. So one, she looks young, retinol works. Two, she looks like a golfer.
Nice. It paid off.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Speaking of retinol.
No, I was actually about to say, you saying that, I'm like, okay, I got to get on the retinol game then.
Yeah, I want to order the Paula's Choice one that makes
Not only
uses.
Do I think your skin looks great, if you're looking like you're young, then got to get on that one. So you're going to send me your product.
Yes.
I have it. I use it every so often, but I like put it away in my drawer and like I kind of forgot about her. You know,
she's you have so the retinol?
I got the tiny one to try it out.
Yeah. Or the BHA?
I have both.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I need to be more consistent.
I will say
I feel like it was drying me out, so then I was so worried about like hydrating again.
Yeah.
It's a hard balance.
I very much, when I first started, I diluted it with so much moisturizer and really worked up because I was so scared of damaging my skin barrier because I got a facial not too long ago. And when they looked at my skin under the light, she said, "You've done a really good job. Like, I don't see any damage." So I didn't want to try and take things into my own hands and ruin it. But I genuinely, and I'm not even just saying this, I have fewer fine lines. I haven't gotten Botox since a long time, like probably a year. And I had someone the other day come to my house. I had very minimal makeup on and my hair pulled back. And she said, "You're making me want to get Botox. Yours looks so fresh." And I literally was like, "It's just the retinol that's taking my fine lines because I haven't had it." So.
Wow. You're going to need to tell me your exact way that you started it, because that's my thing too, the drying out.
I think I went scary. Jump the gun.
Yes.
We'll talk about this more later.
Yeah.
But use retinol.
And sunscreen.
Yeah, that's true.
Sunscreen's a big one.
Yeah.
I won't even get it. Only at night, everyone.
Oh,
yeah,
only at night. Yes.
Yeah, the sun will absolutely damage your face.
I won't even go to my mailbox without sunscreen, and you shouldn't either.
Wow, you're better than I.
Yeah, me too.
On your neck and on your ears.
I'm not a sunscreen gal, but I need to be. Maybe that's why I have.
Do you feel like, what do you use skin? That's so not oily?
I use the La Roche-Posay Daily SPF, and it's not oily at all. Okay. It honestly works as like a beautiful primer to your makeup.
Okay.
Good to know.
Also, do you guys know the hack to take your extra skincare and put it on the backs of your hands because they age quickly? Mm-hmm. I do that with my sunscreen every day too. Put a little on the backs of my hands just so they don't get super wrinkly in the sun, because I feel like that's where a lot of women get age spots first is our hands, just because you use them so much, you know.
I mean, I have freckles on mine, but
that's so cute though.
You've got gorgeous hands.
You do. Ellie has a wonderful hand. I thought that at your wedding.
Think maybe I should be a hand model.
You should.
Some extra cash. I don't know, I think my fingers are too short, but
I saw a TikTok the other day of someone's before and after on Ozempic, but the difference in their hands, and I was like, that'll make me sign up.
Really?
I'll pay the $1,000.
That's
like, if I could take Ozempic only for my hands, like I would.
They just looked like
like I need to inject it into my ring finger. Bony. Because 9 months postpartum, I can't fit my wedding ring back on yet.
Yeah,
so they just like made them small.
Yeah, they were just like so delicate, skinny little fingers, and I would kill for that.
that alone
I would. Yeah.
I make it worse too because I don't like my nails super long, and I do think that makes your hand look more elegant.
Yeah, of course. I hate getting my nails done,
I just can't type with them longer.
Yeah. Well, when they grow out when they're long, I feel like a pterodactyl. Like,
monster.
Like claws in a bad way. Like, then they make you look like your hands never end.
I will say, I went to get a haircut the other day. Don't want to talk about it.
But the chop, if you will.
The shag. Yeah,
that I'm experiencing. Shag, not even chop.
But the girl that did my wash, not the same girl that cutting my hair. So the girl that did my wash, she had like long acrylics. And the feeling was making me want to crawl out of my skin.
Like in a bad way?
Yeah. I could just feel
they felt
like,
weak.
Yeah. Like I could feel like the plastic like against my scalp. And I was like, I'm going to throw up.
Because I like the feeling when they have a little bit of nail.
Yeah.
And they're
like a thick natural nail to get in there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the... I felt like
thick natural nail is killing me.
I want it to definitely feel like somebody's aunt washing my hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
I agree.
That's something to think about.
Does anyone else have any updates or anything?
I don't think so. The only grievance that I'm experiencing right now is, I think I talked about this last year on the podcast, my barn swallows.
I'm sorry, your what?
My barn swallows?
Yeah. I don't know what that is.
Her birds.
I have birds that come to my house every year.
Birds. Actual birds.
Yep. Actual barn swallows. My house has like an arch in the front door, and it's... I mean, the perfect nesting spot for a barn swallow, apparently, because they won't leave me alone. I knocked down the last nest that they built. So they built one like 2 years ago, and it's just been like up there, and they come back and use that one every year. So I knocked it down, and you can't find someone to come knock down the nest for you because it's illegal to do it in Oklahoma once there's eggs in there. So it's very hard to find someone to knock down the nest. So I just did it. I took matters into my own hands. I saw them circling the house, and I was like, not again.
Yeah.
And so I knocked it down. I was like, go find somewhere else. A Motel 8, if you will.
Like, in the 8, to be exact. Yeah.
House is, there's two options in the 8.
And yeah, there's no vacancy here. Go elsewhere. And they didn't care. Built another bigger nest in a different spot. Like within 2 days, it was like up and running.
What?
And
then up and running.
I have to Google barn swallow. I know,
same. Not them building their own hotel in your
house. Yeah, they're menaces. Menaces. And they like fly birds, around my house all day long, swooping in and out like so fast. I'll walk out the front door and they'll just like dive bomb and go out.
Oh, they're kind of sweet. Oh,
fuck them.
They look like the mockingjay.
I said what I said.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Mm. Yeah, I said what I said. They're a menace. They said,
if we burn, you burn with us.
Yeah.
So and what are you going to do?
I think it's too late. I think that the deed is done. The eggs are there because there's been one that's just hanging out in the front. And like it looks at me every time I come out. Like, hey, mom. Mama?
Morning.
Mama? And so I'm just going to have to wait another year. But there are like little gadgets that you can get. But it's so high up there that it's just like daunting a task, you know, where you like, it's almost like a tape that hangs out like, so like plastic things where they just like don't want to build right there, I guess. Mm. But I swear, I don't even think it would matter. I put an owl out to scare away. Didn't care. Mm-hmm. Came back with just, it brought back up. There was like four circling the house.
Yeah, it brought more.
Yeah.
That's rough.
Yeah, it's very annoying.
That is annoying.
And not to mention, birds are gross.
Yeah, they poop everywhere.
Yeah, there's poop everywhere. There's feathers.
Ugh, yeah. I don't trust them.
Yeah, it's just gross. So that's what I'm experiencing.
Sorry that to hear reminded that. Me so of sorry. My very boring adult home update. We got our patio covered
that's
screen
exciting.
Because our bugs are so horrible where we live because we back up to a creek.
Yeah.
And it's been amazing. In the same week, I got that put up and I had my bugs. I sprayed for bugs right before I left. So I feel like I'm like hoping to go home and not have spiders everywhere.
Yeah,
but nice. So before we did that, I obviously wanted to like clean my patio best I could. And mind you, there had been several wasp nests that were built on my patio. So I told Logan all week, they're coming tomorrow. And mind you, every time this company called me, they're kind of old school. So they would say, hey, we've got it on the truck. Can you do tomorrow? Mm-hmm. And if I was like, not tomorrow, they'd be like, okay, we'll call you next week. So when they called me this time and said, can you do tomorrow? I said, yes, we'll make it happen. But Logan like had class, we put it off. So then it's like 10 p.m. and I was like, hey, hun, we have to get the patio ready. They're coming in the morning. And he was like, what? And had forgotten. So it's like me and him out there. It was the windiest night ever trying to power wash our patio. Oh, yes. And there was a whole instance where a hornet followed him inside and we didn't know it. And he was in the bathroom and he screamed. One had like, I guess was mad that he tore down his home, came into our house and didn't sting him somehow. So then we vacuumed him up because we didn't know what to do because he was in our house. And then I kid you not, that little bugger was alive inside my vacuum for days. I would go look in the base of it and he was flying around furious.
Yeah.
And I was so scared. I taped the clothes of my vacuum because I was like, what if he crawls up the snout? Mm-hmm. I mean, snout's not the word. But I was terrified. But yeah, their homes have been destroyed. They cannot come back. I love the net and I'm hoping that the spray helps. Living by the stagnant water is a nightmare and I have to do something to make it better.
That was nice though.
Like, it looks really cool. We never sit out there because the bugs. Yeah. So now we want to like get new. Of course, me, I can't do one thing. I was like, I'm redecorating this whole place.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get new furniture and stuff, but
That'll be nice, cozy though. That'll be nice. So, like, yeah. Because I love the way it looks. Like, your backyard, but I can see the bugs. Like, that's an automatic no. Like,
yes. Once
there's bugs. Because
I was terrified that the netting was going to be too dark and you couldn't see. We spent so much extra money on that wrought iron fence so we could see our trees. So, it's actually so... You can barely even tell it's there. Like, the dogs ran into it when we first let them out because they, like, literally couldn't tell it was there.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
I love it. I went to Austin last weekend for a little motorcycle race. I say little, it's a big deal to us, but no, like, it's like a little special tradition that we have now. And it was honestly great. It was so fun.
Good.
It's the best year we've had. And now I just feel like such a mom about it. Cause I know like what backpack to bring. We can sneak in water. I have protein bars and beef jerky. Like I know the rundown of it all. So now I feel like I like know what I'm doing. We always do our like merch shopping, looking around on Friday. Watch Saturday, so like we've got it down.
It's nice.
Our hotel was great. Location was great. We like know which restaurants to eat at now. It's great. And I just like Austin. Like we just like going there.
Yeah.
So it's fun. Yeah.
Good.
Good little bonding time.
Cool.
So it's fun. All right.
Okay, let's do the book.
Yes. Let's start it.
That's what I was gonna say. A disclaimer, I have a confession. Me, Maddie Branham, host of this podcast. I didn't read this book. I started it. I got to 10%. And you know when you just start a book and you're like, I'm not finishing this.
Yeah. You just know.
Yeah, you just know. Yeah. It just wasn't in the cards for me.
We've all had one but you. Like we've all had one we didn't read but you. So this was your
book. So this was my time. So I'm going to skip this one. I'm going to read some discussion questions. So I'm going to try and participate. But yeah, I didn't read it.
Maddie's going to see herself out.
Yeah. Mike going off. Okay.
Okay, I'll try and do a summary. It is one of those books that takes place over a very long period of time and does a lot of jumping back and forth, so it's kind of hard to tell you all the details, but it's essentially a story of Deming and his mother, Polly, and they are Chinese immigrants who moved to America. They moved to New York, and it's kind of just about, first, them, you know, being in New York City because she moves when she's pregnant. And so you hear a lot of that story, but then, she ends up being, deported back to China. And you don't really know that. You just know from his perspective that his mother was in his life one minute and gone. And then he ends up being adopted. And so you hear a lot about him and his adopted parents and like his curiosity about his mom and then how they reconnect and what she was internally going through, like being in New York to start with, and then also when she lost him, and she ends up remarrying and kind of having another life in China. And so, yeah, it's very, there's a lot of perspectives and you hear of a lot of different time periods. Like we get to see Deming as a boy and then also when he's in college and then also as an adult and he kind of struggles with some addiction issues. So yeah, I mean, kind of hard to explain, but it's really like love and loss and the complexity of relationships, and then obviously also I don't know the exact time period, but the influx of immigration to specifically New York from China to get work. And
I wonder, does it give a time period? Now I'm curious because I don't recall them ever saying
I don't think it does,
but I didn't really picture it being super
total present day
necessarily, but not
like maybe 80s or 90s.
Well, it had to have been
because like he's like in a rock band.
Well, so she talks a lot about, he talks or she does, one of them talk about how different the village is when they return home. Like the village had been very commercialized, so it was like a time that both China and New York were changing rapidly. Yeah. We know.
So this, I mean, not that this means anything necessarily, but it was published in 2016.
I'm trying to think of like what technology they were talking about, but I can't really, like they like had a record player, like now, so I don't know.
Interesting.
Well, I didn't talk about like iPods or,
I'd be curious
like,
historically about, like, kind of when the boom of the American dream was, because it's very centralized around the American dream
for sure.
So I'm sure that kind of gives us a context clue as to when it was.
Okay, so should we kind of say our overall thoughts first?
Yeah. So this says it was inspired by a 2009 New York Times article about an undocumented Chinese woman.
Okay.
I would say, honestly, early 2000s felt fitting for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he listens to CDs and stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it felt to me early 2000s.
Yeah.
What did everyone think?
I'm like, great summary. I can't wait to read it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you intrigued?
Adding it to my TBR.
I honestly really liked it. I was like, it was a very much, I don't even want to say slow burn because there's never like a part where it picks up necessarily, but I wanted to know like what had happened to her. And then once it got to her perspective, mm-hmm. I was like very interested to see what had happened, but it was pretty slow. It was long, but it was something I haven't read in a long time. And I was like craving some sort of just like story about someone's life. And it did that for me. So I overall really liked it, but yeah. Audio was the way to go once again. So
yeah. you will never not choose audio as the way to go.
I just love my little walks with audio.
No, it's helpful for
sure. I just get so sleepy at night.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I liked it.
Similar thoughts. I really had a hard time getting into it in the beginning. I just kept falling asleep after I would read like five pages and I was concerned I was going to be in Maddie's boat. But it was technically like my pick kind of. So I was like, I have to give it a fair shot. And I'd had it for a while. But once I switched to audio, that helped a ton. And I ended up definitely liking it. I felt like there was a decent amount of detail, mm-hmm. like background detail, scenery, like just overall pretty detailed.
Yeah.
And that's not something that I typically love in a, it just feels sometimes unnecessary. Like it dragged it on a little longer than it maybe needed to be. And so that was something I kind of noticed, especially towards the end, I felt like, but totally different than a lot of the things that I read. So I appreciated that. And overall, I agree. I was really interested to know, like, why did she leave? What happened? How do they kindle a relationship between the mm-hmm. two of them? So I was always interested to know more, but it was definitely slower paced.
Yeah. I second all of this. I was worried when you guys had talked about falling asleep and how hard it was, but I did get into it pretty quickly. So that was good. And like you said, I'd read a lot of mysteries recently that all really sound the same. I feel like mystery novels are just written so similarly that it was a really nice change because it was so different from what I had been reading. I will say they create this mystery as to why she left. And yes, they kind of give you reason to believe that she would have left on her own because she didn't really want to be a mother. She was a free spirit. She felt very tied down by Deming. But all along, it was pretty obvious she didn't leave on her own account. Yeah. And so I kind of thought there was never a moment the hammer dropped in any way that surprised you. It was kind of like from the minute you start this book, you know it's a story about this mother, sadly, was forced to leave her son and then he was adopted. And yes, she didn't find him again. So there is some interest there. But I did just kind of feel like there was never a moment where I was like, oh, no. All of it just made perfect sense, which it's fine. It's just a story. Not every story has to shock you.
Yeah.
But
I don't know what this book is classified as, but I did not think it felt like a mystery novel whatsoever. I mean, but I saw a lot of comments on Goodreads talking about it being a mystery.
No, if you went in like wanting it to be a mystery, I would think you'd be not disappointed. Well,
it's based
but
on
slow.
Like a, you know, it's based on that article. So it's
I know, but
it'd be, I would just like,
I think Chinese that was American like a marketing marketing scheme to try and make it interesting of like, mm-hmm. but now where's his mother's gone.
Yeah. Cause I don't even think that was a big theme of like, where'd she go? Like you said, that's not what I was worried about necessarily.
If you only read the first 2 to 3 sentences of the back of the book, like the summary,
mm-hmm.
when I got it, like I told you guys, I got it in like a book, Dirty Santa situation. And mm-hmm. as I started reading the back cover, I thought it was going to be a thriller, but mm-hmm. then I kept reading the rest of the summary and I was like, oh, never mind. Not a thriller. But I saw a lot of Goodreads comments talking about it being a mystery. And I was like, I would not classify this as a mystery yeah. whatsoever.
No
and
way.
And it's like solved even from like the halfway 10%. Through. Like, you know, like there's like the other half of the book where
they're reconnected
and they're reconnecting. You know where she is. So, yeah.
I know. I don't. Huh. I don't know.
I mean, it's not like a crazy thought, but I wouldn't consider it a mystery.
And I don't think it is. But yeah.
No, it's like in the sense of like, it's a mystery where she went. It's
not yeah.
a mystery. Yeah. Mystery. It's not a mystery.
Maybe
novel.
That's what they were trying to say, and maybe I misread the comments, but yeah. I don't know.
I was, in fact, PMSing during this read, but there was a moment I was really crying.
Really?
Like tears streaming.
What yes. part?
When his mom threw him the surprise party and he thought that she had forgotten his birthday.
Oh, so yeah.
Sweet. He ends up going to China to find his mom, meets her new husband, meets her, and he lives with them for a while. And there's like a day he goes to work and he's with his friends at lunch and they don't comment on his birthday. And he's like, what are you guys doing tonight? And they both have plans with their families and he's so kind of bummed. So he like goes and gets dinner and he's like, of course my mom forgot. She forgot me for most of her life. And then he walks into the apartment and she had invited all of his friends and the man who raised her, even though him and her don't talk anymore.
Yeah, and his family.
Yeah, but then I was like already crying. And then he goes to get something from his room and he saw an email from his adopted parents who he hadn't talked to for like 6 months. And they FaceTimed him and were like, happy birthday. Like, I hope you're having fun there, but when are you coming home? Oh. And also they called him by David, which is what they
Daniel.
Had or Daniel, which is what they had named him. And then his birth mom comes in and is like, it's Deming, and corrects them. But it's not in a mean way. It's like just in like, she's always been like feisty. Mm-hmm. It was just a very like full circle. Mom. It was sweet. And the book was one of those books where bad stuff kept happening and you just wanted him to get a break. So that being like a good scene was comforting.
I needed it. Yeah.
I was kind of interested to see whenever he kind of reunited with Michael and Vivian, how that was going to be, because Vivian like basically said, sorry, I can't take care of you. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to put you up for adoption, essentially. Not even his birth mom. Like, she didn't have any part in that. But this woman who he wasn't even related to was just kind of like, I can't afford to like raise two boys. And so that like threw his life into a whole new like world. So then whenever it to me, it seemed like whenever he re-met Vivian and Michael when he was older, that there didn't seem to be a lot of like bad feelings. Like, he was cooking with Vivian.
And they like got to have kind of hash it out there.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't remember if there was ever like a fight between them.
Yeah. Was I there? Don't think there was. And I think he kind of understood Vivian couldn't afford it. And we learn later that Vivian couldn't afford him because Vivian paid off his mother's debt for her.
Yeah.
And he never really resented her, especially too, because it was so sweet. He hadn't seen them in so long and they like had a seat at their table for him, said he could stay as long as he needed. And obviously him and Michael kind of had tension at the beginning, but they reconnected so easily too.
Which that made me happy.
Like, me too.
I was so happy he actually followed through.
I was so sad. He was talking about how much he ate and how he couldn't stop eating because it was like finally traditional Chinese food. And obviously his adopted parents hadn't known how to cook that way.
I'm curious. I'm just thinking all of the different facets of this book. I wonder if the discussion questions actually would help us like touch on all of them.
Yeah. Cause it is a lot to cover.
There's the adoption aspect of it and how he was adopted into a white family. And that's a whole thing. And then his mom, that's a whole thing. And then
his adopted parents have friends who also have an adopted Chinese girl, but they adopted her as a baby. Mm-hmm. So there's kind of that distinction of belonging as an adopted child and how different that looks if you have known your culture, because he went and lived in China with his grandpa for so long. Mm-hmm. But like Angel, the other adopted girl, had never known anything other than her adopted family. So her cultural upbringing was so different.
And then there's feeling like his mom just totally abandoned him and not understanding why. And his dad, who he thought was a dad figure, Leon, kind of also abandoning him and not really understanding that. And so there's that whole thing.
And there's also the belonging aspect of his adopted parents want him to speak English better and be good in English school. And then his mother kind of penalizes him when they reconnect that his Fujianese has gotten worse. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to it.
Yeah.
And just even his addiction with, it was gambling, right?
Yeah.
And the band and him and his friend having like that whole...
And I thought it was interesting. They don't touch on it a ton, but Leon had a gambling addiction.
Yes, I noticed.
At least he couldn't quit when they went to Atlantic City and he lost all that money. So I thought that was kind of like...
I thought that it tied it really loosely. Like, they didn't touch on it a lot, but I noticed that connection.
Yeah. I want to talk about the end too,
but yes,
we can wait and see if we got some questions.
And then he is also in a band, and music plays a huge role in the book as well.
Yeah, because like that's like something he, him and Peter can connect on, but it's still like not, it's like the mom seemed kind of weird about it. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But like, well, I thought those were like sweet-ish moments with Peter caring about music.
Let's start with that question then. There's one that says, Deming plays a concert at the beginning of the novel and again at the end, neither of which could be considered a success by most standards. Compare these performances and consider what they convey about the journey he has been on.
Well, at the beginning, he has to run out because he gets so overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of like his lack of sense of self. He genuinely didn't know how to handle it.
So insecure.
And then by the end, he's still not a perfect performer and he still screws up, but he powers through.
He doesn't seem to care.
Is that the one that he does kind of on his own? He's not really in a band with Roland.
No. Yeah, it was interesting to see him grow as a musician. And I kind of liked, it wasn't cheesy where he ever became a superstar. Like it was just very mild.
Still playing for himself.
Regular growth.
Yeah. Because I was, I'll not talk about the end too much, but I was like pretty happy when he was just like in China teaching English and like he was really good at it. It sounded like it was like something he enjoyed. He was getting paid. Like I was like pretty happy with the stability of that. So I found it interesting that he did end up going back to New York and like doing that again. Like it's kind of full circle in like an interesting way.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm okay with the ending because he seemed happy. But me liking the stability aspect of like his teaching career made me a little nervous that he went back to that and it still wasn't like a total success.
Yeah, I think it
but
was kind of
in his heart it probably was. So
it was sweet because his identity, whenever he was stripped of his Chinese identity by being adopted and kind of losing that influence, he wanted to identify with that. But then when people would say, oh, you're from China, he would want to cling to his American identity of like, no, I was born in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm an American citizen. New York is my home. And I think it was kind of a sweet way to tie it up where he was like, my belonging is in New York because this is a place where I can connect with my culture, but I also connect with my roots and it's nostalgic. And he loved like music and loud streets and people around him and all of that. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Next one, from Deming to Daniel to Pelion.
That's Polly's name. Yeah.
Pelion, I think.
Pelion.
Pelion to Polly. Do you think the name changes of the main characters helped them to find a fresh start or further complicated their search for belonging?
I think it was helpful.
Yeah, I think especially for Pelion. Because then she goes back to like saying she found Pelion again, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I think for her, Pelion represented her free spirit who could do anything because Polly was who she was, or Pelion was who she was in the village when she was brave enough to go to America in the first place. And then she started identifying with Polly as like, Polly can do anything. Yes. Now she's here.
All throughout the book, or all throughout her portion of the book, she would say, but this is Polly. Like, Polly can do this.
Yeah.
Like, she would almost literally separate them as two different people.
Yeah.
Well, also, it really changes back and forth on if they call Deming, or Daniel. And it almost showed his personal, how he was viewing himself in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny that even in the summary, in the way we've talked about it, we call him Deming and we call her Polly. It's like she kind of wanted to become Polly because she felt like Polly was braver than Pelion. And then with him, he like never really lost Deming fully because Deming was like, that's who his mother raised, you know?
Yeah.
I think for Pelion and Polly, it helped her. I think for Daniel Deming, it confused
complicated
his identity more because once basically kind of what you just said, she chose to like become Polly. He was forced to become Daniel Wilkinson.
True.
And
she renamed herself.
Yeah.
He was renamed.
Yeah.
By choice whatsoever. And so I think, I mean, imagine being seven or eight, I think is how old he was. And you get adopted by two people that you've never met before, and they decide to just rename you because they want you to fit into their white community. And you're like, what? And that would be so confusing and hard. Mm-hmm. But what else is he going to do? I mean, it's like, yeah, that's going to be his new life. He might as well go with it. But then with just the kind of different comments that he would get, and he would get made fun of, and there's always still Deming in him. And so I think just the, I don't know, I think it would confuse him more because he didn't choose that. So, yeah.
Both. Good points.
Yeah.
The Leavers asks us to grapple with a complicated image of motherhood and Polly's experience. Do you empathize with her? Did you change her? Did your view change of her as more of her story is revealed?
I feel like, okay, what was the first part of that question? Sorry.
Did you empathize with her?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, she,
yeah, I definitely did.
She didn't leave by choice. She was trying before she even gave birth to figure out a way for them to live like a better life. That's why she went to New York in the first place. Mm-hmm. She knew it wasn't going to be great for them. I think that's how she viewed it, at least, mm-hmm, if they stayed in China. And so I just feel like before she had him, but after she decided she was going to keep him, she was like, okay, we're going to try and make a good life here. But then when she was deported, like, that obviously wasn't by choice at all. I think it is interesting that she didn't really seem to make a much of an effort to try to, maybe she made an effort. She didn't make a continuous effort throughout, yeah, his whole life to try to find him. Which I think he seemed to have a hard time. Like, he just multiple times would say, like, you never tried to find me. But I also think she maybe knew, like, this would uproot his life if I did, like, find him when he was, like, 13 or something. I don't know. Definitely empathized with her, though.
Yeah, I think what I liked about the book was that there really was there were no villains. Like, there were things his adopted parents did that were horrible and things they did that were amazing. And then there were things she did that you totally understand. So, I mean, for one, she wanted to terminate her pregnancy and tried multiple times and had a lot of roadblocks and couldn't. And so then by the time she finally had a doctor who could, she was too far along. But then you empathize with her. She loves her baby, but she's like having to work in a factory and it's not working. And so there is a lot about that struggle, but none of it ever made me think, oh, she's a horrible person. I just thought, one, she's so young. Mm-hmm. She
was young. She was 18.
Tell me if I'm off here. But I feel like the culture differences really shows in that of, like, parenthood too. Mm-hmm. Like, Americans are soft and, like, we don't know the same struggles as, like, people in other countries.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, like, she would probably do, I mean, after she chose to have her baby and stuff, like, she would probably do anything for that child, like, mm-hmm, in order for him to have a better life. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think that in her mind, like, in Daniel's mind, it's like, oh, my mother, like, I need my mom, like, I'm a kid, whatever. But she's like almost thinking, like, oh, he doesn't need me, like, he needs, like, a better life.
Yes.
Like, and, mm-hmm, if that means taking me out of it,
yeah,
then,
no,
like,
for sure,
so be it.
Yeah, yeah. And I kind of think that's why she never
reached back,
really, yes, tried to,
yeah,
find him.
Yeah, that's because what I was gonna say. There was a parallel between her deciding to send him back to the village with her dad. She didn't want to do it, yeah, at first, but then once she did, she's like, he's safe, he's fed, I can focus,
for sure.
And then once again, whenever he was like, why didn't you ever try and reach out, you knew I was adopted, she said over and over again, you were adopted but you were safe.
Yeah.
And I think in her mind, as horrible as that is, it was no different than sending him home to the village. She could talk on the phone, mm-hmm, with him then, but it was kind of that decision of, like, as long as he's protected, I still took care of him. I made sure he was fed. I made sure he was safe.
Right. And not thinking of, like, the emotional part of it, because, yeah, that's also very American, I think.
Yeah. She was thinking of, like, what's best for him. Yeah. Like, yeah. Emotional
gonna,
ties.
No.
Yeah.
Very logistic. Like, what's going to, yeah, is he going to be alive here? Like,
uh-huh, yeah.
Is he going to have some sort of shot at a life? And I, not, like, the emotional implications of not having a mother, mm-hmm, around.
Yeah. I would have loved to know if she, like, totally switching the book here for a sec, if she would have somehow found who he was adopted by and reached out to them and said, like, I would like to try to get to know my son, phone calls, whatever that may be, I would be interested to know, like, what Kay and Peter, those are his adoptive parents' names, if they would have, like, allowed that, because this bothered me. I didn't like this part about them. They kept saying, we are your real family. We are your parents. Your family is us. And they were so, like, harped on that so much.
Yeah.
It's almost like they wanted to cut out her from him and his memory almost for good. And that's just not how I personally, I don't love that thought, but I just would have been curious if she actually would have found him and tried, what would have happened. Yeah.
Yeah. But, and they even had that photo of Domingue and Polly, and he had never seen it. He found it, like, creeping around in their files, and he had never ever had a photo of his mom. And he was like, why didn't they ever show this to me? Why didn't they give this to me?
I think that's, like, they obviously did a lot of amazing, amazing things for him and gave him a really great life. But I think it's just an interesting thought of when you adopt a child with a totally different culture and a really different background and you almost don't acknowledge it.
Yeah. Well, and it was funny because I feel like you've seen that in movies and shows before where people are just ignorant.
Yeah.
And this was like a big commentary because the thing was both of them were educated and they had been going to conferences. They had read so many books and they were like, wait, the history we did about Chinese culture wasn't enough. And so it was like very interesting because it was like even people who buy the book Do What You're Supposed To, they didn't understand the real, like, there's a scene where them and their friends who also have an adopted child go to a restaurant and they're saying this is authentic Chinese food. And he was like, this is garbage. And he's talking to the waiter in Fujianese and like making fun of them almost. And then the same with, there's a moment where one of the women talks about how she studied Mandarin and he was like, I don't speak Mandarin. I speak Fujianese, and gets kind of heated. And so it's just those things where it's like, it's a commentary that, like, no matter how hard you try, you don't need to be the one to tell someone about their culture. You need to expose them to places where they can genuinely experience their culture. You know?
We can maybe end on this one.
It
says, discuss Domingue/Daniel. How is he personally accountable for his choices? Are they a result of nature versus nurture? And also, whose actions toward him left the greatest impact, for better or worse? Peter and Kay, his mothers, Roland's, Vivian's, even government policy.
Oh, that's really interesting.
I think he is... it's like so much of him was still Polly, even when he was with Peter and Kay, and a lot of him changed being there, but I don't think you could say that they had the greatest impact on him, because I do think he carried so much that he learned from his mom and from Vivian and even like in the village. And I think that those things were evident in his resilience, and he never like lost the part of him that was his mother. I feel like that was so evident in his personality. And then, like we said, even with, like, for better or for worse, but even in his gambling addiction, you kind of learn later that his father figure Leon struggled with like being able to stop gambling, so that was kind of like an interesting tie back.
Well, I also feel like his mom, like, he never let go of the thought of finding out what happened to his mom. I mean, that literally was a thing throughout the whole book. That was the book. But like, as he grew up, that was just always, he was never going to let that go. And how could you? So he, I just feel like his focus was always on his mom, not on his adoptive parents. Like, even though they are technically the ones who raised him for a majority of his life, I still don't think they had the biggest impact overall. I think his mom and everything with that,
his like 0 to 7 year life. Well, and his grandpa, like you said, being back in the village, even I would say he had more impact. He and was always so worried about how Peter and Kay were feeling, like their feelings. He never once was worried about like how they made him feel. Like he just kind of
accepted it, kind of.
Yeah, he was so. It was almost like he not like he was the adult, but he was like, oh, I hate when Kay looks at me that way. Or like, I hate when she,
he really wanted Peter's approval.
Yeah.
Well, it's like he wanted to be there. I can't imagine truly being an adopted child, because I think that would put a lot of pressure on you.
Especially the way it happened for him.
For him specifically, yeah. And I think he felt the pressure to be like their perfect kid that they chose, because he was older and they, like, I think specifically wanted a Chinese child. So I just feel like he probably had this pressure of pleasing them and feeling like he didn't let them down. Of like, yeah, like, I'm not who you wanted.
Yeah.
You could have picked someone else or something. Yeah. Like, that would be hard.
And there's that scene, I don't remember it completely, but he overhears them talking at night. And Kay says something along the lines of, we'll love him. We'll love this out of him. Like, we'll love him so much that these problems will resolve. And that's not, like, you can't nurture someone out of trauma. Like, you can show them love, but that's not enough. And I think that question kind of ties to that of like, I think Kay and Peter thought, as long as we give him everything he wants, give him a home, give him this, that's enough. And it never was. Like, it really did take him going back to China, connecting with his mom, getting all the answers to then decide, I do want to be in New York and I don't want Kay and Peter out of my life.
Yeah.
But I do think too, the there's something to say about, he gets in that horrible fight with Kay and Peter whenever he does the college essay, and then they also find him gambling again. And then when they call him on his birthday, it is that thing of like, your parents' love is, it always will bounce back. You might get mad, but they're going to be there waiting. And even though they still had tension at the end, it was nice that like, he did have that relationship where he could come home to them. Like they were that figure for him still.
Yeah. Definitely. Sure. Yeah.
Great discussion, ladies.
Yeah, I thought that was good. Really good.
I was interested. Great.
Do you want to do casting or rating?
Cast and then rate?
Cast, rate.
Okay.
Okay.
I think we just do Pauly and Domingue. They're kind of the main. Yeah. We didn't talk about Roland in any characters. Of our discussion. Oh, yeah. But
I was happy he had a friend. Like, I was very happy when Roland was in the picture. And I'm glad that he reconnected with Michael. Like, those really two solid liked people Michael. Help. Michael was great.
I thought he was like a good, just like, he obviously wasn't a main character, but he was a big role in his life. Yeah. And I was really happy that they became friends again. And it seemed like they picked up really fast, like where they left off at 7. Like, I liked him.
I also thought it was, I'm relieved he paid Angel back.
Yes, me too. Same. That was really,
he borrowed $10,000 from his friend Angel, and that was his parents' friend's adopted child. So he grew up with her, and then he couldn't pay her back because it was to gamble and he lost it. And so that was like this weight on his shoulders for so long.
And how did he pay it back?
He ended up finally, like, once he started teaching English in China, just wire transferring money to her, like,
every time.
Yeah. And that was a parallel to his mom came to the U.S. with $50,000 in debt and, like, had to use her tiny paychecks to chip away. So there was, like, a new parallel. Yeah, and now he's in this situation in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. And just to mention Roland, since we didn't, I just think, like you said, he had one friend, and, like, that friend really stuck by his side, and like, I don't know, just, he didn't bully him. He didn't see him as different. And I just liked that he was like a solid guy for him.
Yeah. When he got like so upset or like nervous, flustered or whatever, and like left during their show.
And it was like a big deal for him. Cause Roland was like really, it was like a big thing for Roland.
There was a scouter there or something.
Yeah. But he was like, Roland himself, like from what I can remember, handled it like, he was like, are you okay, dude? Yeah. Like, he was like worried about him more so than like, I can't believe you left. Like, I don't remember him like mentioning like he was upset.
Yeah.
He just seemed like a constant, like very level headed.
Yes. Guy. We kind of forgot to mention too, but Peter and Kay lived in the burbs. Like, it was an all white town, no diversity, nothing to do. And so even like, he knew the village, he knew bustling New York, Chinatown, and then he knew
tiny suburb
where like, he's the only Asian kid at his school. So that was kind of like part of the effect that when he was with Peter and Kay, it wasn't just in New York, it was in a place with no culture.
Yes.
Okay, who do we want to do first?
Pauly?
Sure.
I said Lucy Liu. She is in like an ongoing show. It might be over now, called Elementary, that went on for like many, many years. And then she was also in Shazam, the recent like superhero movie, I guess.
I watched that. I'm trying to think.
She's very cute. I thought of Polly as like, she really was such a free spirit. Like, she just wanted to travel wherever and do things and experience life. So I just saw like, you know, just like a young, fun, like, I don't know, world's my oyster kind of gal. Mm-hmm. And then even whenever she was in China with her husband, which he was a saint too. We didn't talk about that, but the guy she married was so sweet.
I was confused though. She left him in the end.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She did.
She went and did her own thing. Yeah. Again, I was going to ask your thoughts on that. Like, were you upset about it?
Didn't he say that he was okay with her having a job where she traveled?
Well, no, she left him. I think.
Oh, okay.
And like got a new apartment. Was she going to start over?
I don't remember.
Oh, well, that doesn't surprise me at all because she just wanted to start over all the time. That's what I'm saying. She wanted to blow with the wind.
Like she like went back to Palon in her mind.
I was confused though. Like whenever she kept hiding her phone calls and stuff with Deming from him, I was like, oh my gosh, is he like a bad guy? I didn't really know what to think of it at first. Then I realized it was just because he didn't know that he existed, but that threw me off just a little bit at the beginning of his role. But he did seem
You know, her going to Hong Kong and starting over. Do you remember when she's at the gala with her husband and he's saying like, I think we'll travel to Hong Kong next? And when they get home that night, she was like, can we go to Hong Kong and stop talking about going? So I think she was married to someone who acted like he shared her desire to kind of blow at the wind, but he wasn't as free as her. Yeah. And I think that was probably saying like, this woman is such a free spirit. Like, a son is too much. A husband is too much.
So
she genuinely wants to just go on her own, like do her thing, you know?
Okay. My Polly is Michelle Yeoh. She is in Everything Everywhere All at Once, Shang-Chi and Crazy Rich Asians. But this is her. I thought she just looked like a mom. I feel like
that's a good one.
Yeah. No, she does.
She does.
You know? Honestly, she looks kind of tough.
Yeah.
And Polly was pretty tough.
Yeah. She gives me like mom energy. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. She's even all done up in this and she just looks like she'd be a good mom.
I agree.
Yeah. My girl is Michelle Krusiak. I might be saying that wrong. Krusiak. She's also... She's only recognized is... What Happens in Vegas with like Cameron Diaz and Ashton Kutcher. Yeah.
She does look young, but so pretty.
She's beautiful.
So naturally pretty.
Yeah.
I
feel like, my woman looks maybe almost a little too old.
I know, but like I pictured more like your age.
Woman. I know, but that's interesting because she's so had young. Him so young.
Yeah, she had him very young.
So she actually would be.
And like they
young.
Mention her youth like often where she like still looks the same.
Maddie, I don't know if you made it to this point, but she got pregnant with Deming literally the first time she had sex.
No. With her neighbor.
Yeah, yeah, like she didn't even like him. She just wanted to like, all of her friends had lost their virginity and she wanted to be in on the gag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But he never knew, did he?
No, she did end up.
No.
No, she never told the dad.
I never told the dad.
But I wonder if her dad did.
Because like,
the dad's raising the baby.
Yeah.
No, she told her dad that she got pregnant with someone in America.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's nuts.
Yeah.
But she did mention like he had a wife and a kid. Like I think she mentioned
that. Like she had talked to him since, I think.
Or something.
Yeah. It's funny that Deming, he didn't have any interest in meeting his real dad.
Mm-mm.
Not really.
He like wanted to talk to Leon, wanted to talk to Polly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Daniel Deming.
Okay. So I'm going like at the end of his life when he's old, because I know he's a kid for some of it, but I feel like the character development was when he was a bit older. So I did Ludi Lin. He was in Aquaman and then I guess Power Rangers. I didn't know that, but I saw when I looked it up. He's giving rocker jacket vibes, which is what I was thinking in the band. And obviously by the end, like this is probably a little too cool for a kid who was in a very, very small town. Mm-hmm. But I was just thinking like when he was coming into his own as a teacher and like loving music still, he probably was kind of cooler.
Yeah, like kinda edgy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it's perfect, but like I couldn't get the rock band imagery out of my head.
No,
and his love of music and like every time he was in a taxi, he'd be like, can you turn up the music? Can you turn it up? Can you turn it up? Like he just wanted to jam.
Yeah, no, actually now I'm really regretting.
I'm like, let's see.
Searching for someone new. No. Hold on.
I gotta see your original.
I'm just trying to find a good photo. Okay. Okay, here's why I'm regretting it. He's in all the Maze Runner movies.
Oh.
So, like, these are the pictures. Hold on, where'd it go? He's, like, action-y. Like, dirt on his face.
Okay, but taking away that, I know, so
there's not a single red carpet photo without dirt on his face.
Let me show you this picture.
He only ever has dirt.
Okay, honestly, probably closer to
the dorkier boy.
Yeah, he looks so young. Like, he's like the boy version of him for sure.
Did I say his name?
No.
Ki Hong Lee.
Okay.
He just looks like maybe he grew up in the burbs and...
Yeah, you're
right. But he doesn't look like he was in a band whatsoever, so... That part doesn't fit very well, but
yeah,
he looks a little young maybe for the portion of his life that he was like an English teacher and stuff, but he fits that part better.
Yeah, I like him. I tried to go very rock star, maybe like the beginning rock star guy, but his name is Dylan Wang. With the bandana?
Yours is so, both of them, him and Polly are like, too model-esque.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Beautiful.
Too like, beautiful.
Both those people are stunning and chiseled and like perfect.
Well,
your movie's going to be more beautiful than ours. He's very cute, though.
Yeah, I know. Isn't
what was he in?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah. No, he's so like cute.
Vogue.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's just on the cover.
I'm like, he's a model.
My dreams.
My dreams.
Macy's. Macy's the best overall.
Kind of your cast,
You're both.
For both.
Oh, T. I don't think I kind of like your.
Mom, I like your mom.
Polly. Your Polly, okay. My Domingue would be a good
your
cast.
Polly was just so pretty.
Yeah, I mean, I want that woman to be my
that,
mom.
Yeah, Polly when she's like in China, like yeah, like, I picture like, her like.
Yeah, because he talks about how shocked he is to see how put together she is in her dress and her makeup and.
What's y'all's rating?
I am going with 4.
I was going to do 4.
I think I'm going to do a 3.5. That's what I originally did. I'll just keep it.
3.8.
Wow, that's high.
That is pretty high.
Yeah. And honestly, it was a really good book.
It was good.
Discussing it made me like it more.
Mm-hmm. It reminded me of the kind of book that would be like an adult book club.
I was going to say, it is a book club.
Yeah. Yeah no, sure. It was really a good book.
I would definitely recommend it.
Yeah, especially if you have time. Like, if you just want to read a couple chapters a day.
Yeah,
give it time. That's so true. Rushing through it would be hard.
It was definitely challenging to rush. But I liked it still, so.
Yeah.
I was playing the audio in the car while we were driving somewhere, and Logan was like, this is very depressing. And I was like, it honestly hasn't been a depressing book, mm-hmm. but like I said, it is one of those where it's like,
just kind of heavy.
Man, like, mm-hmm. kind of raining the whole time, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
What else did y'all read?
Oh yeah.
I don't think I read anything else. I'm still working on A Court of Silver Flames, so I'll get back to that. But
yeah, Maddie, you
talk. I didn't read anything else.
I read Just for the Summer by Abby Jimenez. It's her new book. It was really good. I gave it 4 stars. Just like your classic romance, but it was a good plot. It was fun. It was cute.
Don't say too much.
I won't. But I do love how all of her books connect. You know, you can read them as standalones. But this one connects to Part of Your World in such a cute way. You're gonna die.
Oh, I'm so excited. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm reading that one right now. So
yeah, it's really cute.
What's it called again? Just for the Summer?
Just for the Summer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You got very stinky breath in. and then I read Julia Fox's memoir called Down the Drain. It was incredible. It was so good. And I was gonna say it's interesting because it didn't really make me like her more or less. And I feel like reading a celebrity memoir, you kind of always end up liking the person more after reading it. Mm. And it did give me a lot of respect for her. She's had a really hard life and she's been through a lot. And I feel like what we know of her is so surface level and people just think of the uncut gems and the eyeshadow and the outfits. And she is all of that. But she's also, I mean, she has incredible stories. And it was so graphic in both like a drug use way and a sexual way that it was almost kind of shocking.
Oh wow.
So I don't think it's for everyone to read, but if you are even a little bit curious or just enjoy a celebrity memoir, I think it was a really good one. I read it on audio. What else was I gonna say about it? I don't know. She talks about Kanye a little bit, so that was interesting. One thing I will say is she mentions that Kanye wanted her to sign an NDA at the beginning of the relationship, and she just like never did it. And so then they like just kept hanging out, whatever. And then finally his team was like, hey, you never signed this. And she was like, yeah, I'm not going to.
Oh, wow.
And then like they broke it off. So I'm like, that's the reason she can put this in her book. Like,
yeah,
she was talking about, you know, the artist and like his friends and had like in-depth like details of what happened. And I was just thought it was so interesting.
Cool.
But yeah, read it if you are even a little bit curious about this girl.
Okay. You said you didn't. Okay. I finished A Court of Mist and Fury. I think I was reading it, maybe still, or going to read it. I don't know. I don't think I had finished it at our last episode.
I don't think so.
No, because I read it after Don't Let Her Stay. So, loved it. I'm
yeah.
I think I've said this, but when I was like 50, maybe 40% through, I said I was not going to read any more of them. I wasn't that into it. And then by the end, I was like, oh, baby, I need more of this man.
Yes.
So, yep. Love that.
He's so majestic. So good.
And then I read Before We Were Innocent by Ella Berman, and it was pretty good. It's technically kind of a thriller in a way, maybe more of a mystery. I don't know. But it is like about these two girls, well, three girls really, but they become friends in high school and they go on this big like graduation trip that's a month long to Greece because one of them has like a house there, and they kind of start not enjoying their time, and then one of them dies and they get framed like for it, and so they get like put in jail in Greece, and then they get released and get sent home, but their lives are like obviously forever changed, and one of them handles it and like lets kind of capitalize on this, mm-hmm. and then the other one just goes into like complete hiding and depression, and then the one that kind of got famous from it, she comes back to the girl after 10 years because something similar is happening in her life, and she's like, I need your help. And so then it kind of goes back and forth between then and now, and
interesting,
kind of compares the two, and she's like sorting through it all in her mind and trying to figure out what's happening, and it's actually pretty good.
It sounds really good.
Yeah, I gave it 4 stars. I would definitely suggest reading it. So that's all.
Cool. I read Only This and The Teacher by Freida McFadden, which I saw everyone was reading it, and then it was on Kindle Unlimited. I was on a flight. I read the whole thing in one flight. Can I just say spoiler alert for The Teacher really quick? Can I do that?
Sure.
Skip ahead if you're going to read it. I have to say this. I said this to you two last night. I don't think you heard me. You were in the shower. The point of The Teacher, the two main characters, it's switching back and forth. They're married. They're both teachers. She is depressed that their marriage kind of sucks. Her husband is like very handsome, but kind of not interested in her anymore. He's an English teacher, a poet. She is a math teacher. She's way more analytical. He is having an affair with a student, and she finds out and is like furious. And you end up finding out that he's done this before. He has a pattern. He's gross. And she keeps talking about like, that is sick. I want to go to the cops. Like, horrible. He ends up killing her, burying her. She's not actually dead. Comes back to life. Kills him. Oh, there's a lot. Okay.
I did hear you talk about the ending, yes, but keep saying, because they...
She, the whole time, you don't really... Like, it's horrible. He's having an inappropriate relationship with the student. Wait, so he kills
her but doesn't kill her?
They like hit her on the head with a frying pan, think she's dead, bury her, but they bury her with leaves because they're in a hurry because he's trying to frame the student.
Okay.
Him and the student go to bury her, and then he leaves her alone because he's going to frame the student. Anywho, she is having an affair with a shoe salesman the whole time, and she keeps talking about like, I wish I could be with Jay, and Jay's who I want to be with. I'll never be able to. He's also like unavailable. And so like then Jay ends up saving her, like when she crawls up from the grave, she calls Jay and he saves her. And
you're like, too much.
Okay. So then you make it through all of it. She ends up killing him. The
husband?
Yeah. She ends up killing the husband, and I don't even remember how they like frame it because she's alive, so the students are okay. Anywho, the very like last chapter, the student who was having an affair with him, which mind you, she had an inappropriate relationship with another teacher
but it wasn't physical, it was just friendship. But she was seen at his house, and so she'd already gotten another teacher fired, the same girl. It was very weird. Anyway, at the end, it is like wrapping up her story, and she's talking to her best friend, who was this guy who's like captain of the football team, who like she had ended up calling him to help. And you're like, good, she's got like a good friend, a stable friend. And she was like, hey, Bryce, or whatever his name is, why does everyone call you Jay? And you figure out that the woman's affair at the shoe store was also a school student from their school. So one, why was she so mad at her husband? Like, the same for doing thing, it. Like, and, like, yeah. Two, like, that's so stupid.
Yeah. Like, that is dumb.
Ugh. Anyway, it was just stupid. And that I gave it, stupid. I didn't give it 2 stars because it was, like, it wasn't horrible. Yeah. Like, the writing was fine. Yeah. But that twist was, like, dumb. Like, I literally put in my Goodreads review, I predicted every twist except the last one. And I'm sorry, who could have predicted that? It made no sense. I've read, like, so many books about grooming recently, yeah. And it's grossing me the hell out. Like, people stop writing them or just tell me not to read it, because when it was the teacher, I thought it was going to be like a student obsessed, like Fatal Attraction, right. And kills the teacher. Not enough of like men having sex with children. I'm going to gag. Like, I cannot fathom any more of that. I know it's real, and I like know that it's something to talk about. All the ugly and wonderful
things was like,
I was gonna say, it feels a little different.
Good, and I don't know.
Yeah,
put like a spooky thriller vibe on it. Like, I'm like, no, it's someone's life.
It's like, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Anyway, that's what I read.
Cool. Say what we're gonna read.
Yeah,
that's all, right?
Yeah. What?
That's all we have.
Yeah, I think so. I think we decided to. We're going to do it. We're going to read another Emily Henry book. If you know us, if you're a fan of this podcast, you know that we read Emily Henry books and we hate them every time.
Yeah. Except for Book Happy Lovers. Happy Place, right?
Happy Place is what, Happy Place is like
what we read book last May, actually.
I think. Oh, it was last May?
Yeah. I think so.
Great.
Yeah, they do May books. So yeah, Funny Story by Emily Henry. It comes out April 23rd.
She loves and we're going to do it. That's not true.
Book Lovers.
Happy Place.
Is my favorite book
funny
of all time.
Story. Funny Story. I was going to say she likes like 2-word
she's also
titles,
People We Meet. Beach Read. Oh, yeah, Beach Read.
Mm-hmm.
And Beach then Read. People We Meet on Vacation is an outlier.
Yeah,
it's
an outlier.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I can picture the cover now. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it yet.
I know we talked about doing Shark Heart last week, and I think we're still going to read that, but maybe for June. Maybe June. Or maybe just a little extra fun time.
For a little summer.
Yeah, I think for the fans, I think for the book community, we have to read an Emily Henry.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And who knows, maybe we'll want a redemption arc.
Yeah, that's true.
Same. Because I want Book Lovers.
Really loved Book Lovers too.
Everyone loved Happy Place but us. And sometimes I feel like we're broken.
I know.
I don't know.
I saw someone
post
I know.
That they didn't like it either.
Yeah.
I don't remember who it was and I don't remember what they said, but they didn't like it.
I've seen some people say it's overrated.
It was trash.
So. Yeah. And it was.
What was his name?
Couldn't tell you anything about
Wyndham.
It.
Wyndham. Like the hotel.
Yeah, in Vegas.
Yeah. Yeah. And they called him Winnie.
Right? Win.
Win.
That's what I'm saying. I think Winnie. It was Winnie.
I think the mom called him Winnie. Everyone else called him Win.
Yeah, calling him Winnie. They called him that.
But like, come on.
Also,
I remember they all have weird names.
I'm like, listen to the episode. I'm sure we've freaked out.
Yeah, go listen to that.
All the crazy names.
Read the book and tell me it's not stupid.
It is stupid.
Okay.
Well, that's the episode. I think it was it was a good one.
Yeah.
I'm proud of y'all.
What'd you say?
At least it may be our best yet.
Oh, goodness.
Honestly.
Do I dare?
Anyways. I'm like, so thank you for listening to Patchwork.
Throw it in.
We rebranded and we're back and better than ever.
We need to revisit that off the pod.
I think
it's a great idea.
Yeah.
Okay. See you guys later.
Bye.